want to thank Kyle for leading us in those hymns and thank each one of the men for leading us in our worship tonight. And I want to thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to come in the Assembly of the Saints, and tonight is no exception. I want to thank those who may be visiting with us and encourage you to come back and be with us any opportunity you may have. Before we enter our lesson tonight, let us bow for a word of prayer. Holy and righteous God in heaven, we just thank you for this time to continue our singing praises and to worship you and to hear in our lesson from your word. We pray that we will diligently seek to do your will always. And Father, we pray that when we have sinned, we have fallen short of your glory, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, we just thank you that you allow us to have that opportunity through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we can be students of your word and not only just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And Father, help us to be going and doing all the things that you expect us to do to make an impact and make a difference in this world. We thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you for families and those who are members and have been diligently doing your will for many years. We thank you for our elders, and we thank you for our deacons and Bible class teachers. We thank you for everyone that puts a part as a part of the congregation here and does and strives to do your will. Father, we just pray that you continue to bless us as you have in the past. Watch over us as we go through this evening. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. On a number of occasions as a minister, I've been often asked or overheard people asking this question: what if I sin after becoming a Christian? Well, depending on where you are in your spiritual walk, you might understand that there probably is a better question to ask. It's not a matter of if I sin, but when I sin. Of course, this comes from scriptures and helping us to understand answering this question in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up there. This will be our text for this evening. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, it really answers this question, or the better question is, what happens when I sin? Notice what John tells us in the concluding remarks in this chapter. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I guess we could say that how one responds to that question in light of the scripture really depends on one's attitude towards their sin. As we think about sin as it's taught in the New Testament, this is not the only passage. This is also not really the idea of where sin begins in our understanding. First of all, when we are thinking about sin, we need to understand that every person sins. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it states, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Sin is described in Scripture as a lawlessness or transgression, as we read about it in 1 John 3 and verse 4. In 1 John 5 and verse 17, it's stated as wrongdoing is sin. The definition that often is used by preachers and Bible class teachers when it comes to sin, because it is right, is it's the short coming short of the true end or missing the mark. It's carrying the idea of missing the goal or God's design of what he intended us to live and be. And then there is a passage in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 where it says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we are reminded that this lawlessness, transgression we call sin, separates us. It causes death. If there's anything that we earn in this life as a result of our sins, it's death. And because of this sin, our future is death. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, it reminds us that our iniquities have made a separation between us and God. And so we are separated. We are dead. In short, we have a sin problem. A sin problem that needed to be dealt with. And God wanted to deal with this. And so he gave his only begotten son. This is why Jesus came to this earth, to deal with our sin problem. Notice in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice that while we were still sinners, Christ came to this world and died for us. It continues by saying, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Because Jesus came to this world, because God loved us, we see now that his death and his burial and resurrection brings us back into reconciliation with God, brings us back together. And so Jesus' death and Jesus' life helps bridge that gap or makes a way for us to come into a relationship with Almighty God, meaning that there is possibility for us not to be separated. When one understands that Jesus has taken care of our sin problem, we understand that there is a response that's expected of all those who hear. There's no greater example of this than what we see in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. In the day of Pentecost, we see Peter and apostles began to preach the first gospel sermon. And as we read that passage, we see that Peter began preaching using Scripture, filled with the Spirit, talking about the things that Jesus has done as he fulfilled those scriptures, as God intended him to do, dying on the cross, was buried and resurrected. As Peter is preaching this message, notice in verse 37, those in that crowd heard this message, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And the response to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, response to what he has done for our sin problem, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when one understands what Jesus went to the cross to do, as he died and was buried and resurrected, that we respond to that by repenting of our sins and putting Christ on in baptism. And so one does this in the name of Jesus, our sin problem is dealt with. But the question arises as we think about our topic at hand, what if I sin after I become a Christian? Well, we need to look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. See, when we become a Christian, notice what Paul says. We die to sin. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it reads as such. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When you and I understand that Jesus came to this world to be a sacrifice for our sins, and when one we confess that belief and repent of our sins and put him on in baptism, we are in essence dying to that way of life, that lifestyle. We die to it, we stop doing, we repent of that. The idea of repentance is turning away from it, turning and changing and going in a new direction towards God. The idea we stop sinning. We do not keep on sinning to get more grace. Paul says, by no means. We don't live that way. We don't intend to sin anymore. In other words, we do not keep on sowing our wild oats and then praying for a crop failure. To keep on sinning shows that a person does not understand the seriousness of the sin. If we continue to live a lifestyle of sins, it's disregarding the seriousness of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it also ignores the true meaning of what God's mercy is all about. No one should ignore or mistreat or even take for granted what Jesus did at the cross. When we are talking about sin, it's a matter of life and death. Remember Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. This topic is a matter of life and death. And a number of times in Scripture, we've seen that not only are we to die to sin, but there's a number of times where we see that we are, the examples and teachings specifically told, stop sinning. Stop doing that habit. Stop doing whatever you're doing that's contrary to the will of God. For example, in John chapter 8, there is a woman that is caught in adultery. And there is a whole instance there. But if you look at John 8, verse 11, as the crowd dispenses and Jesus and the woman is there, he asks her if there is anyone to condemn her. And she says, no. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go from now on, sin no more. He is in essence telling her, stop sinning. Stop doing whatever you're doing, no more. And then over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 through 29, notice what instructions that Paul gives here. Let the thief no longer steal. We could put it in this way, stop stealing. Then he goes on and said, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so he may have something to share with anyone in need. He goes on and says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So here we see something else that we're supposed to stop doing. The theme is to stop stealing. Those who use corrupt talk are to stop using their talk in that way. James 1 and verse 21 puts it this way, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James uses the term here, put away. Another way we can understand it is stop doing filthiness and rampant wickedness. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, Peter also says, put away all malice and deceit, hypocrisy and envy and all slander. We can look at many other passages, but it makes the point that there are some things we got to stop doing. If we are to be followers of Christ, there's things we got to put away. There are things that we got to die to. In that big umbrella of things, it's sin. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, Jesus tells us not once but twice to repent, or we'll all likewise perish. Meaning we've got to stop, we've got to turn, we've got to stop doing those things that are contrary to the will of God. And we might ask the question, well, what are some of those things that are contrary to the will of God? Well, the Bible goes on and explains in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, those lists of things that are sins. And in both of those passages, it reminds us that one will not inherit the kingdom of God if they are continuing in these things. Things such as adultery and drunkenness and lewdness and the like of these things. If we are to enter the kingdom of God, there are some things we've got to stop. And so it's very clear from Scripture that we must stop the habit of sin in our lives. But it comes to John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Notice again what he has said. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now notice, as we have already talked about in these passages of Scripture, we're to die to sin. We're not to continue in it. We are to stop. But when we come to John's passage, he reminds us that after becoming a Christian, sometimes we do sin. Again, it's not a matter of if, but when we sin. In fact, he goes on and says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. So what's going on here? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, we are told and instructed to walk in the light. To walk in the light, to walk in righteousness, to walk in the ways of God. And to do that is sin. In other words, put it this way, we as Christians, when we become Christians, when we die to sin, we are to make it our goal, our livelihood, our lifestyle, our habit, we might say, to do the will of God, to please Him. Walking in the light, as is described by John, it illustrates the Christian lifestyle opposed, as John also points out in this passage, of walking in darkness, as the heathen or non-Christian does. Over in John chapter 8, verse 12, it states this: Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Understand what Scripture is speaking, that spiritual direction, not sinless perfection. See, some questions we need to ask ourselves as we are wrestling with this text that tells us, well, in one place it says we die to sin, stop sinning, but then John comes along and says some of us still have sin. What's going on? It carries the idea of, are you habitually living in sin? Some questions we must ask ourselves: what direction am I going spiritually once I became a Christian? When I sin, am I trying to please God? What am I doing? Examine yourself. On a number of occasions, the Scriptures remind us we need to evaluate ourselves. We need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, am I doing God's will? Continuing on in 1 John 1:7 reminds us, as we continue to walk in the light, we go in the direction of God. As we have fellowship with one another, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So walking in the light exposes our sin. And the more we draw closer to Christ, the more we will see our need to turn from our sins, to confess our sins, and make things right with God. Oftentimes I hear people say, well, I'm just a sinner. I can't help it. Or they make some other excuse. But the Bible is reminding us we turn from our sins. And although people often emphasize the continuation of sins, do you realize that the Bible also reminds us there are some things we need to continue in righteousness? For example, our Christian walk involves an ongoing repentance of sin. Over in Acts 26 and verse 20, Paul is teaching there that we are have deeds of repentance. Repentance is not just something we do once and we mark it on the day and say, I repented then and that's it. Repentance, as described in Scripture, is ongoing, doing deeds of repentance. That involves my action, my behavior, and my lifestyle. As I change my heart and I do the will of God, there's going to be ongoing deeds of repentance. But something else our Christian walk involves, ongoing confession of sin. Notice again in 1 John 1:9 that we must confess our sins. Notice this is the Christian to continue to keep confessing sin. In the Greek, it's understood as a continuing confess our sin. Understand also, this is not where we enter the blood of Christ. John is talking to Christians. We become Christians as we repent of our sins and put Christ on in baptism. That begins our Christian walk. After we become a Christian, sometimes we do sin, and we need to confess our sin. And the idea is continuing to confess our sin. And confessing our sin is not just something I nonchalantly do and say, well, I sinned, and then go on, almost as sometimes children, when they get caught doing something they're not supposed to do. You ever caught a child sneaking in the cookie jar, and it's right before supper, and you catch them, and what do they do? Well, I'm sorry, and maybe they're sorry, and maybe they're not, because the next day, right before supper, they're in it again. That's not how Christian confession works. In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 17, we see the story of the publican and the Pharisee. True confession is like the publican. Me, a sinner, confessing humbly, repenting with true reverence to God, understanding my heart is pricked and broken, I must confess. But our Christian walk also involves ongoing obedience. See, again, when we think about our Christian walk, it's obedience. It's not a one-day thing. Again, it's not something I just put on a calendar and say, well, I obeyed the Lord then, and I'm good. No, it's ongoing. 1 John 2 and verse 3 says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. To continue to be a Christian, we must continue to do the things God has asked us to do. And as we think about this, there is ongoing repentance. There's ongoing confession. And for the Christian, there's ongoing obedience. But there is a blessing in doing that. Notice in 1 John 1 and verse 7, the blessing of walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another. That doesn't come by continuing in sin and making excuses for our sin. And notice that as we continue in fellowship with one another and with Almighty God, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Again, meaning a constant process as we are in fellowship with God and one another. But notice 1 John 1, 9, the condition. See, we will have the blessings of 1 John 1 and 7, but it's based on a condition. Notice verse 9, if one confesses their sin. Again, this is a continuing process. As we continue to walk with God, it is revealed to us that we have sin in our life. We confess those sins to the Lord, and the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us. And it's imperative to come together and study. It's imperative to come together in fellowship. It's a reminder that we need to draw closer to God. It's a reminder that we have a sin problem, and we knock off that sin and as we come together and as we study and pray and do these spiritual things together. We continue in salvation to receive these blessings. Also understand what John is not saying. He's not saying that we are keep on willfully sinning. He is not contradicting what Paul says in Romans 6, verse 1 through 3. Too many times we must understand God's grace. We sin and then dismiss it as well. All humans do it, so it's no big deal. It's really a big deal. Again, look at Romans 6, 1 through 3. Notice again what it says. Listen carefully. Follow along very carefully. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? And that's really the key. It's not that we are living in sin. It's not that we are continuing to habitually make it our goal and set out to sin. These verses remind us that at our baptism we die to sin, and so we stop doing it habitually. We stop doing it willfully, and can I say it this way? We stop joyfully sinning. We keep it in our minds. Keep in mind if we keep saying or acting, if I just keep sinning, grace may abound and grace increase, that doesn't work. We need to understand that what is going on here is I die to sin. I don't habitually do it. As we think about the consequences of sin, we must realize that as we strive to walk and live the Christian life, there's going to be consequences of what we choose to do. Regardless of what our excuse may be, regardless of what we may say, in Galatians 6 and verse 7 through 8 puts it this way, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will flow from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So the question is, what will I feed in my life? What will I focus on in my life? What will I plant in my life? If a Christian keeps on sinning and planting seeds of unrighteousness in their life, they're only going to reap unrighteousness in their life. But if I plant seeds of righteousness and goodness and holiness and faithfulness, then the seeds will be blessed by Almighty God. The Bible is teaching that we do not have a license to sin. but an incentive to obey. Notice 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Back in 1 John 1:5-10, it reminds us that we continue to be forgiven as we walk in the light. As we continue to walk in that direction towards the light, as we continue to walk in the ways of God, we are forgiven. Yes, we will sin, but not purposely. We walk in the light. We strive in that direction. Someone might say, well, what if I continue to sin and not walk in the light? Well, Hebrews 4:6, Hebrews 10:26-29 reminds us that if we leave that light and walk in darkness, one will lose their soul. If you are one who continues to say, well, I will sin that grace may abound, you will lose your soul. There is no more grace for that person. As long as one has an unrepentant heart that does not confess their sin, as one who continues to live habitually in sin, there is no salvation for that person. But as we continue to follow God, we can be able to say, as we sometimes sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. 1 John 5:13, it says, we can know we have eternal life as we continue to believe in Jesus and the things that are written in Scripture. Notice a number of times as we look at this that we must continue to do the things of God, continue to believe the Scriptures, continue to believe in Christ, continue to obey Him, continue to move forward in the direction of Almighty God. It's when we turn our back on Him that we forsake the Lord, that we keep on sinning and refuse to repent and refuse to confess our sin, that there's no more salvation. Hebrews 10:27. The one who continues to reject what God has planned for us. The Hebrews writer says the only thing in store for them is a terrifying expectation of judgment. As we close tonight, we struggle with sin, but God has made a way for us to have an out through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we become a Christian, Romans tells us we die to that sin. We no longer habitually live in sin. We don't make it our ambition. We don't make it our goal to live in sin. But as we live in this life, sometimes we let our guard down. Sometimes we forget who we belong to. Sometimes we fall down. Sometimes we're not walking in the light. And so genuinely, sincerely, we see that we are to confess our sin and come to God continually. One person compared our struggle with sin in a similar way that an alcoholic struggles with drinking. I don't know if you know any alcoholics. Unfortunately, I've had many encounters with those who are alcoholics. I've worked with one gentleman who was very involved with AA. He was a friend of mine. And for an alcoholic, as my friend tells me, it's never over. How often does an alcoholic struggle with that drink? How often that burden is always there facing them? My friend ended up being something like 30 years having sobriety. But it was something that he told me that it was a struggle each day. In a similar way, sin is like that. It's like alcoholism. A sinner is never cured. They simply decide, stop sinning, like an alcoholic, stop drinking. You know, if you've been around AA, that an alcoholic has to start over when they have that first drink. in a similar way, there's a daily decision for you and I to die to sin and live for God. We don't make it our ambition. We don't make it our goal to sin. We don't make it our habits. It's our direction to go towards God. We should strive to live a holy life. Notice Romans 8, verse 13 through 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Question: who is leading you? Are you being led by the flesh, evil and sin? Or are you being led by the Spirit and life? Can you honestly say tonight that you are a child of God? Have you died to sin at baptism, buried it with the old man, brought new life through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection? Can you say that you've done that? Are you a baptized believer, but you've not confessed your sin? Oh, maybe you're the one who, yeah, you were immersed, but you continue living like the old man. You may be here tonight and you need to repent. You might be here tonight and you need to confess your sin. You know, our loving Father, merciful God in heaven, he's eager and he's willing to forgive the repentant Christian who has sin. As John tells us, for the Christian, confess your sin, make things right with God. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. We invite you to come to obey the gospel. Come now as we stand and as we sing.